Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we bring you some news to talk about our favorite shows and characters, give you some fun recipes to try out, and give you some suggestions on what to watch. Joining me this week is...
What's up, everybody? It's Epically Dave.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's actually been a while, everyone. We took a little hiatus, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But thank you for being back on the show, for the comeback, the season two of Anime Bento. We're so glad to have you back on.
Thanks. I know it's definitely been a while, not since we've spoke, but it's definitely been a while since we've done an episode. I've missed it. I've been excited.
What have you been up to since the last time we've talked? Since the last time we've talked, like the listeners, as a community have talked.
Now, I don't remember if we recorded while in our new home, but we've moved. So I'm currently working on my new background and everything, my room, getting all that taken care of. I'm going to be streaming again very soon, so hopefully that will be up and running before too long. That's really about it. What about you?
Wait, what do you plan on streaming? What are you going to stream?
Pokemon Champions. I really want to get into that competitive scene. I already downloaded it, opened it, and I've been learning all of the new rules and all of the, you know, the roster that they have for the current regulation. And I'm trying to take mental notes. I might end up having to get some paper out, pen and paper, and take actual paper notes, because there's definitely a lot of things you need to remember.
Well, I think that makes sense. I watch a lot of, if you're a Pokemon, competitive Pokemon people, you probably heard of Wolfie Click. Like, I watch a lot of his stuff, and he always has notes with him, even when he's at tournaments. He'll have a little notepad of notes and things like that. So, man, you're on your way. Soon you might be at, Worlds.
Definitely not this year, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, this year it's three months,
yeah, something like that. And it's actually funny, because regionals for my local area in Indiana is happening this weekend. Well, I'm here at home, but you know, I need to get practice in. I need to see what I know, what I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But I figured, you know, I did kind of quit my day job. So I have some extra time, and I wanted to spend some of that time learning to pick up streaming again and learn a few new tips and tricks on my passions, my hobbies. And yeah.
I've always wanted to dabble into streaming. I think I've streamed twice. My problem is I can never figure out volume and sound. I just have a really bad time with that, coming from someone who's like doing a podcast. I'm bad with sound, everyone. But I'm excited. We'll definitely all tune in. Like, whenever Dave streams, we will definitely be posting that. So everyone check it out.
For sure. I'll be sure to make some announcements and stuff. But what about you, Jimmy? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Wow. It just feels like it's weird talking to you about what I've been up to, because we talk almost every day. Well, we do talk every day. So it's weird, but I guess to explain the little hiatus that we've had is that I actually decided to go back to school. So I'm back in school, finishing up my bachelor's degree, because I did drop out of college to go to culinary school. And I just recently decided, you know what, why not have a degree? You know, just something to throw up on the wall. So I've been going back to school, so I needed to take a little break from everything, just to figure out my time. So that's something I'm doing right now.
How are your classes going?
Oh my gosh, dude. Writing sucks, everyone. I hate writing. So I know you've heard me complain about this, but man, I do not have a bone in my body that wants to write an essay. It's like that's like my saw trap. If I was in a saw trap and be like, write a 1,000-word essay about this, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm doomed, everyone. Farewell, world.
Think that's where you and I are opposites, because I could write all day long.
See, you would survive the salt trap, and I'm there.
Yep.
I just don't like it. Luckily, I finished the class and I passed it. So I did way better than I thought I was going to do. So I don't have to write any more in my life. Well, I'm sure that's a lie. I'm sure I have to write more, but
has it been different for, like, you know, from when you originally went to college when you were younger to, like, now? Like, do you feel like you're able to focus more as you know, as a quote unquote adult?
I think I understand my limits more now as an adult. Like, I understand, like, how far I'm a procrastinator, everyone. So I'm like, I can push it up to this limit and do it. And I just think, I don't know, just school is different now. I'm able to do everything online. Before, like, online stuff was just starting ish. So not every class was available online. And now, like, everything is available online. So that's great. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just glad I don't have to go into an actual classroom. I feel like, not that I'm old, but being surrounded by young people, I just would feel like, oh, this is horrible. But yeah, going back to school, it was rough in the beginning, but finally everything's kind of working out. So we're able to, like, do the podcast again. Of course, I've still been watching a lot of anime, so that hasn't stopped, but I'm ready to dive back into this. No, it doesn't. There's so much anime to watch. I feel like I have no time to watch as much anime as I want to watch.
I feel that. Even without a job, I still feel like I can't find the time to watch everything I want to watch. It's like, this is my chance to get caught up on everything. Nope. I still have to adult when and where I can. But yeah, there's definitely still been quite a bit of a... We've gotten a chance to get caught up on a few things. We haven't watched the newest episode of MHA, like the very last episode.
I just finished that today.
Did you really?
I did. I ate my breakfast and I finished it. I was like, because you talked about it recently to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I need to watch this. And no spoilers, but I'm still not satisfied. I think I want more of, like, a wrap up for it. But you know what? That's good, because I feel like we can, like, there could be a movie or something. Like, if we want something more, it leaves the door open for, like, we have something more. But
if I'm not mistaken, there is going to be a mini, I don't remember if it, I think it was a manga series, or maybe it is an animated series, a mini series of Eri going to taking the hero courses.
Oh, to go into UA? She's in UA, yeah, though, right? Yeah. Her and, Koda? The kid with the horn hat and, like,
yep,
the water.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch anything that's MHA related. Vigilantes was great.
Yeah, I need to, like, finish that. I finished season one. People are like, it's so good. So, there's just too much stuff to watch. Too much stuff to watch, and then I constantly keep rewatching the same show over and over again. Like, yeah, campfire cooking in another world with my powers or whatever. I watched season one and two of that like 80 times. So
we're pretty bad about that too. We tend to rewatch a lot, but we also enjoy it.
Yeah. But that's a good thing of the podcast. Now we get to, like, watch new things and, like,
it forces us to.
Yeah, yep, it does. This is like, but it's good. It's like a good forcing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you, like, are forced to eat something new and you're like, whoa, I actually enjoyed that. But on that note, we do have something new for you guys. The format has changed a little bit, so we're going to dive into some new segments we have. The battle for the biggest anime headlines never end. From new seasons to unexpected plot twists, now here's everything you need to know about this week's anime news. Anime Expo 2026 adds major new programming. Anime Expo is going to be July 2nd through 5th in LA. Tickets are still available if you were wanting to go. I've never been, but I hear it's a lot of fun. One of my best friends goes every year, so I definitely would recommend it. I need to get out there. But in Anime Expo news, Anime Expo 2026 premieres include these shows: Black Torch, Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, Magic Knights Ray Earth, and Edge Runners 2. Some panels they're going to have panels for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Jujutsu Kaisen, Frieren, Hatsune Miku is going to be there, and they got some more stuff planned. Are you a big Hatsune Miku fan, David? Do you know who Hatsune Miku
is? I don't. No, I don't. I, after looking at the list, I'm like, oh, Frieren. That's, I'm always down for a panel for Frieren because I don't think we're getting another season until.
Yeah, they are on 2027.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But yeah, there will be a panel there. There's going to be some voice actors, a whole bunch of fun stuff. Anime Expo is also bringing back the J-pop sound capsule. So that's going to be some fun things for all the people there to do. There's a whole bunch of other fun stuff too. So more announcements will keep you updated. New on Netflix, coming out the first week of June, we have Assassination Classroom Season 2, Shangri-La Frontier Season 2, One Piece Season 33, that's the Whole Cake Islands arc, Part 6. We have Kill Blue Season 1, and then the anime movie Scarlet. Coming out on Crunchyroll, we have Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You, and that'll be out June 3rd. I totally recommend it. We're probably going to do an episode on that season when that's all wrapped up. And this is something I recommend for everyone. I can't emphasize this enough that it's so amazing. Watching anime in a movie theater is one of the best things in the world. When you're with other anime fans, you should totally go see it. So for this month, we have a few movies coming out in theaters. We have Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, The Calamity. That's going to be in theaters June 25th through 29th. That is going to be the first three episodes of the newest season. So definitely catch that out. We have Adolescence of Utena. That will be in theaters June 21st through 22nd. We have Ghibli Fest is continuing its run this year with Ponyo, and that's June 13th through 17th. And then again, Crunchyroll is doing another sneak peek night, and that's June 15th. That's going to be some new anime episodes that we've never seen before coming from the summer winter area. And they're just going to be subs. So if you're a dub fan, just be ready. There's going to be no dubbing in this, just subs. But subs are good, everyone. We can live in both worlds. Let's love both things. So that is the anime news for the first week of June.
Which I believe some of these are going to be out by the time this recording is
posted. All the Netflix stuff and Crunchyroll stuff, you're going to be able to watch it right away. And the movie stuff, you're able to buy your tickets now. So go get your tickets before these screenings sell out. Ghibli Fest is always something fun. I always try to catch a few Studio Ghibli movies throughout the year. And again, it's totally different watching it in the theater than watching it at home.
Definitely. I can attest to that, especially after seeing the newest Demon Slayer movie in theaters. That was so good.
Man, I watched that like three times in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think you like it. But I like watching movies in 4DX. I don't know if you know 4DX, where the chairs move.
Right. They're fine. That's not really an experience I like have to go to, but I definitely think it's fun. I just don't really care for it.
In Infinity Castle, I was like flying out of my seat. Don't get popcorn if you're watching a Demon Slayer movie in 4DX. You cannot hold on to anything. I don't think that chair was still for any moment. Now it's time for the part of the show where we make questionable decisions and defend them confidently. Our rotating anime segment starts now. Segment of the week. Bring it on and let's speak. This week's segment is the Mount Rushmore of anime BFFs. We are going to list our four picks for our personal Mount Rushmore of anime besties. These are top four equal choices. Anime besties, not romantic partners. Those were the rules.
Are our opinions, FYI.
Yes, these are our opinions.
Mount Rushmore might be different than Jim's Mount Rushmore.
Someone's might be good and someone's might be better than that. So we'll see. But we'll go back and forth. Do you want to go first or shall I?
I can start mine off.
All right, let's go.
I think we also should take some time later to definitely go through some honorable mentions.
I do have a couple. When I was making my list, I was like, I was making it like what I want up there. And then I also was thinking like, what would Dave not pick? Like, which ones would he not have on his? So my honorable mentions are, maybe they would be on his list. So that's how I wrote mine. So, all right, you're up first.
All right. So my first one is Yugi and Joey from Yu-Gi-Oh! And I can't not pick them. They are truly the best of friends throughout the entire series. Season one especially just gets me every time, especially when they have to duel each other. But then season two, when it comes around and Yugi is having to save Joey, but then Joey ends up having to save Yugi. It's a sweet story. I love the two of them together. I think they are great. They are my number one pick.
That is a good pick. I really like that. They are, oh man, they are such good friends. I like when, like you were saying in season one, when they duel each other, and then Yugi's at the end, it's like Yugi's like, I don't even need the prize money. I'm really here just to save my grandpa from the dark dimension.
Yes, exactly.
And you could tell that they were like, they've grown up to be really great friends together. Even when they're competitors, you still see them helping each other out with their decks, or more Yugi on Joey's side. But that's a really good pick. I actually have that on my list as honorable mention. So
okay, all right.
See, I was like, oh, but I know how much you love Yu-Gi-Oh, so I was like, okay, he's definitely going to.
You knew
have
I was going to pick it.
Something there. I really wanted to put Tristan in there, but I was like, Tristan's like a good friend, but not a best friend to any of these people.
Right.
Okay, so my first pick, it's an obvious one. I think a lot of people are going to have it on their list. It is Luffy and Zoro from One Piece. That duo, that's like, we're gonna like go to the end with each other. We're here, we're a team. I think it surpasses even like a captain to crewmate kind of thing. When Luffy first meets Zoro, Zoro's kind of like, I'm just here. I don't know what's going to happen. And then as the series goes on, Zoro is very much like, I am going to be by your side for the rest of time. So I love these two. We have, like I said, like 33 seasons of them together. So there's a lot to enjoy.
That's definitely a good one. I don't know much about One Piece. To be honest, I haven't dove into that series as much as other anime fans have. But I do know of their friendship. And I think that's saying something where, you know, even if I haven't seen a show, I still know of like this iconic duo well enough. Good pick. My next pick might be a little obvious as well. Gon and Killua from Hunter x Hunter. These kids are the bee's knees. I absolutely love them. They are best friends right off the bat. They would do absolutely anything for each other. They even tried to help each other on dates as like little 10-year-olds, and they're adorable. I love the fact that when Killua has to go see his father, and he gets so excited talking about Gon, and you know his father's all like, you should go and see him again. And it just, even just that alone is, I love hearing somebody talk about somebody else when it comes to their, whether it's their love for them or their friendship for them or whatever. Like it that I feel like really speaks volume when you can see the excitement either in their eyes or in their expressions or what the way they're speaking. So that's why they're my number two. Well, not number two, but on my Mount Rushmore. They are definitely a great duo, in my opinion.
I definitely like that pick. I like how like their lives are intertwined. Like even though they didn't stay, like they came as two separate people in the exam, and then you could see how they intertwined their lives together. I just think of that scene where they go back to the island where Gon grew up, and like they're just sitting and talking and watching like the stars or whatever.
Right.
And I think that more scene hits me because of like when Gon's like, oh, she's not. It's not his aunt, right? Who raised him? Is it just kind of like a foster mom? I can't remember now.
No, I believe it's his aunt.
Is it his aunt? Yeah. And he's like, she's my mom to me. And right. I was like, oh, that's such a touching moment. But it's also touching that, like, Gon is sharing these things with Killua and that their lives are so together that they feel comfortable. And we're like, we're going to share our lives together. You could say, like, you could tell even when they're going to be apart, they're still going to be together.
Right.
So I like that pick a lot. For me, my next pick is from Full Metal Alchemist. I knew I wanted to do someone from Full Metal Alchemist. I was thinking Edward and Alphonse, but then I was like, oh, they're brothers. That's kind of obvious. Brothers are, you know, that's a given BFF in a way. Not, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but it feels like, oh, they've got that other bond. But it led me to another duo that I love, and that is Mustang and Hughes. These two guys, Hughes is my favorite character in Full Metal Alchemist. Not to plug another podcast I've done before, but there's another podcast I did with my friend Jason. He's on this one as well. It's called Full Metal Pod. We go through all of Full Metal Alchemist. And if you listen to that podcast, you're going to see the love I have for General Hughes. It's my favorite character. I will never get over this guy. He's amazing. Their friendship, so great. The links they'll go for each other and to do something for each other. See, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm trying to tiptoe around this, but
right,
they're just such a great friendship. I can't recommend watching Full Metal Alchemist. I recommend watching Brotherhood. So they are my second pick for my my Mount Rushmore.
It's a good pick. I like that. I feel like the ones that I'm picking could both be good, but also like obvious, but I don't care because it's my Mount Rushmore. This next one is actually from Digimon, and it is going to be Matt and Ty. I love these guys together. I mean, they literally define friendship. They were a duo that helped create Omnimon with their, you know, fusion digivolution. They've been there for each other and for their little siblings. I think they're a great team. I don't really have any much else to say about these two. It's kind of right there in front of you what they mean as far as friends go.
Now I'm trying to think about them again. Like, Ty is the one with the goggles, right?
No, that's Matt.
Then Matt is the one. Wait, Matt is the one with the goggles. Ty is the blonde hair one.
Yeah, Ty is the one with the goggles. He's the main character.
Okay.
Well, not main character, but like the leader, quote unquote.
Okay, that's what I thought. I haven't seen Digimon in a hot minute, but well, maybe we should do that for the podcast eventually. There's right? So much Digimon out there, though. I hear the new season's really good. What is it called? Breakthrough?
Is that what it's called?
Or Break? Not Breakaway. Breakaway is a Kelly Clarkson song.
I thought about Breakpoint, but that I think is a Pokemon. Oh,
it could be that. Now I'm looking it up. Oh, Beat Break?
Beat Break. Yes, Beat Break.
So we knew there was Break in there.
Somewhere. Yep.
What was I going to say? Oh. I love Matt and Ty's friendship so much that it's kind of like Ty helps Matt become a better friend in that sense. Isn't it Matt's thing, friendship?
Yes, but he definitely struggles with friendship. Like that's why it's his crest.
I like that it like takes someone to bring that friendship out of you. Like you didn't know you could have like that bond with someone until you meet the right person, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that pick. Oh man, I used to be obsessed with the first season of Digimon. Like I had that on DVD. I remember just watching that over and over again. So I really like that pick, Digimon. I wasn't even thinking about a Digimon duo before.
I mean, you would consider that an anime, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely consider it an anime. Okay. Digimon, yes. I wasn't thinking about Digimon when I was like creating my list, but that is a really good duo. For my third pick, I picked from Sword Art Online, Kirito and Yu-Gi-Oh. It's later in the season. I think it's like season 3 or 4 that they're in. But this duo, it's like you get to see them grow up together and see their bonds together and them becoming knights together and then sacrificing it all for each other. This is a great duo, a great bond. Man, I almost would be like, skip everything and watch them too, because it kind of like is its own standalone thing. It doesn't tie until the very end. But this group, I love Sword Art Online as an anime in general. So, of course, I had to give it a shout out for this thing. So those are that duo is my third pick. I think before we get to our last picks, let's start out an honorable mention. Up? Yeah, let's
see. Or not runner. Yeah,
the yeah, the runners mentions. Up. You didn't make the statue, man. I have one left. I was like, oh, this might be on his list, but I'll let you go first, and then I'll go, and then hopefully it's not on each other's lists.
Okay, so my honorable mention is Natsu and Happy.
Okay.
I think the two of them together are absolutely adorable. It's kind of like an Ash and Pikachu thing, but it's, you know, they're from Fairy Tail. I know you're a huge fan of Fairy Tail too, so I was afraid you might have this on your list, but I couldn't really, you know, not want to mention them, because I think Natsu could be paired with other people, because I was thinking about Gray as well, but I don't know. I think Natsu and Happy's friendship, like, they are just a complete duo to me whenever I watch that show.
Interesting. I will not mention my last pick, but we are tied together. For my honorable mention, I hope you don't have this on your list, is because you're a Pokemon fan, this is what I picked. I picked Ash and Pikachu. I love this duo. I think it surpasses, because sometimes when you think about Pokemon, you're like, oh, trainer and Pokemon almost seem like pets at times. So you're like trainer and pet. But for me, Ash and Pikachu surpass that. And then their bond is more than just like a pet. I feel like if you're a pet owner, you kind of like are like, my pet is more than just my pet.
You get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Ash and Pikachu, there have been so many moments in the history of Pokemon where those two will make me tear up. So they have to be, but they have to be on the list, but not on my Mount Rushmore. They're great, but I have one that's even better. So Ash and Pikachu is my honorable mention.
So for me, Ash and Pikachu are beyond my Mount Rushmore. They get their own statue. So I did not put them on my Mount Rushmore. They are like, they get their own pavilion. Like, they get
just a little pavilion next door.
No.
Ash and Pikachu, like, pavilion. Are they like the Washington called? Monument? They have their own like it's its own singular, like,
just their own thing. Their own thing, their own Parthenon. They're like, they get it all. But my number one is Pokemon related.
All right, Pokemon related.
And it's Jesse and James.
Man, that's such a good one.
They are an iconic duo to me. And similar to Ash and Pikachu, like, it's not even just that. Like, they have their moments. They are, you know, they are the comic relief in the series. And they're so funny together, but they're also so, oh, I can't even think of the words now, but it's basically like, you know, they have a lot of not just casual endearments, like, you know, when they call each other sweetheart or things like that, but they are fully, blah, blah. Hold on. I lost my train of thought. These two are a perfect pair because they don't even judge each other. They have, you know, casual terms of endearment. They are so accepting of one another. You know, they're crime. They're criminals. And I thought about the whole trio thing, like, with Meowth too. Yes, of course. But it just, when I think of Jesse and James, it just, they are the perfect friendship. Like, it's so cute. Like, yes, they're criminals and they, you know, they come from sort of different backgrounds. Jesse grew up, it goes back and forth. Like, there are some stories where Jesse actually was rich and then other stories where Jesse was dirt poor, right? We all know James is rich regardless, but they have always accepted each other and their friendships and, or in their friendship and everything. They almost act like brother and sister. They constantly bicker and everything else, but like when it comes to their own separate actions, they kind of support them rather than hinder them. They are like the big face on my Mount Rushmore. Mm.
That's such a good one. Jesse and James didn't even cross my mind, but now that you say it, it's just like, oh, that is actually, that might be like the bestest of best friends. Cause like, oh man, cause like you said, they're both kind of running away from something in their past. Not like it's something like we did something evil, we got to go away from it forever. It's just like, we didn't want to be what everyone wanted us to be growing up. So we ran away and we found each other, and each other lets each other be whoever they want to be and express themselves however they want to express. And then there's like moments like I was just thinking of that moment where, do you remember when like Jesse finds that doctor? And she's like, can live this life and, as a nurse or whatever.
Well, because she also had that nursing background. Like, she was going to be a nurse with
all the chanties. That's hilarious. When she's in nursing school and it's just a whole bunch of chanties.
Yes.
That is crazy. But at the end of the, not the chancy episode, but this one with the doctor, James and me out there like, you know what? If this is going to hurt us a lot emotionally, if Jesse stays, but if it's going to make her happy, then we want her to be happy over our happiness. And I was like, wow, that is friendship. Like, you know, it's going to hurt me, but I want you to still be very happy.
Exactly. So, yeah, and I wouldn't have it any other way. They're a great duo.
See, now I should have gone first because mine's like gonna live up. Well, mine is fairy tale related as well, but we didn't pick this. We got one of the people is the same, Natsu. But my pick with Natsu is I picked Natsu and Urza because I feel like that duo. First of all, Urza's known Natsu longer than she's known Happy, but I just feel like they do have a brother sister bond, and they do have a thing where it's like, I'm gonna be upset at you, or I'm gonna do this to you and you're not gonna be happy about it, but it's because I want the best for you, or I want to protect you, or you know, it's just like they have this bond together that no matter what each other does, no matter what each other's mistakes are done throughout the series, it's like, well, that doesn't matter because our friendship is stronger than that, and that we're gonna overcome whatever this is, and if you're in trouble, we're going to solve this together, and I will always be by your side. So I definitely like those two together. I almost picked Natsu and Gray because I was like, oh, they're really great friendship too, but sometimes I feel like it's more of like, I don't know, it feels like there's a rivalry in there that doesn't fully turn into like this cool friendship bond until later, but I always feel like Urza is going to be there for Natsu, so... Natsu and Urza are my final pick.
I didn't even think about the two of them. Yeah, Urza is definitely like that big sister between her and Natsu, but they are great friends. And honestly, I think that's still a good way to end this segment because they are in ways like they, you know, they're each other's protectors. If one of them's in trouble, they will be there to help the other one out.
Yeah. Oh man, I still can't get it. Jesse and James is such a good pick, though. I can't get over that. That was a good one. Those were our picks for our Mount Rushmore of anime BFFs. We would love to hear your guys' picks for what you would put up there. Remember, this is besties, not romancies, if that's a word, but I'm making it one. So best friends, not romantic partners. That's what we want to see up there. So please leave your picks for that on our Instagram at Anime Bento. Well, I think it's Anime Bento Pod. Anime Bento Pod. Every week, one anime steps into the spotlight. This week, we watched it, we processed it, and now it's time to talk about it. It's time for this week's anime review. This week, we are starting off our Pride Month celebration with the anime movie, The Strangers by the Shore. This anime follows Shun, an aspiring novelist who is a bit of an overthinker, and Mio, a quiet high school student who spends his days staring out at the ocean. What starts as a series of awkward conversations quickly blooms into something deeper. But just as they start to really grow close, life throws a curveball and Mio has to leave the island. Fast forward 3 years later, Mio returns, no longer a quiet kid, and boldly announces he's ready to make things official. Now it's up to the thoroughly panicked Shun to figure out if he's ready to open his heart, stop running from his past, and embrace the romance literally standing on his doorstep. You can stream this movie on Crunchyroll. Okay, every great anime has its food moments, and now it's our turn. Here's this week's special recipe to help you enjoy the movie. This week, we are featuring a fun cocktail called Drifting Back to You. White rum, blue curacao, pineapple juice, fresh lime, and garnished with an orange slice and a sprig of mint. Hopefully, this cocktail will help you get into the romantic move and profess your love for someone. Okay, David, we watch Strangers by the Shore. What are some of your thoughts? What are some of the characters you liked? What are some of the moments you loved?
I quite enjoyed the anime altogether. For me, it was a little slow. And I don't know why it felt that way, because I'm a huge slice of life guy. And that's kind of what this anime is a bit more of a slice of life anime. But it was still an enjoyable story because you still want to see how it ends up, especially after the time gap that they have, right? The 3-year time gap. And both have changed, almost like switched personalities when they've seen each other again after the 3 years. And so I wanted to see how that would end up. The ending, or I guess leading up to the ending, was a little awkward, but in a very realistic way, it was kind of funny. Pretty comical. But the ending itself left me wanting more of the story. Like, I want to know what happens with the family. The family situation. I want to know what happens to them. I wish there was a sequel.
I love this anime so much. I love this movie so much. I've been wanting to recommend this to you for a while. I've been saving it. I've been holding back from you. Because I was like, oh, this is going to be great for June when we do Pride Month. So I was like, this is... I like this because it's so wholesome. It's so sweet. It's just like, it's just falling in love. It's just two people falling in love. And there's so many great moments. Okay, so one of the things that always gets me in this movie is when Shun says this, and he's kind of just staring off at the stars and just talking to one of his friends. This is after he talks to Mio, and Mio calls him a creep. And he says, I was just wondering what makes us afraid. Oh, I was just wondering what makes us so afraid of two men or two women being together. All the things we can fear in this world, and we pick love. And every time I hear this quote, it just like, it takes me aback. It always takes me like, not aback, like, oh my God, I can't believe he said this, but like, takes me back like just to ponder it and wonder it, like, think about it, like, in everything in this world that we could fear, we just fear like two people falling in love with each other. It's just so crazy. And just the way he says it isn't like, I don't know. Just the way he says it is just kind of like something that's just like, why are people scared of me? Or like, why can't I just be who I am? Why are people afraid of just me being able to fall in love with someone? It's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to say hopelessness, but you know the feeling was just like, I don't know what to do. And this is kind of what I'm feeling. So whenever he says that, it just always takes me aback. And just like, I'm like, that is like, why? Why can't we just be happy for this?
Absolutely. I mean, it especially, you know, with us who are part of the LGBT community, like, that's all we want. That's all we want to be able to do is have it normalized, like what our sexualities are and everything else, but it not because of the sex aspect, but because it's the love aspect. It's the whole, I've fallen in love with a man when I am a man, and why can't I be with him? Why do you fear me being with another man in our own household when it has nothing to do with you? You have nothing to fear.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, because Shun is running away from a family that doesn't accept him. It's not that big of a spoiler in the movie. I think the real story of this movie is them falling in love. But I think about Shun's aunt that he goes to live with, and his aunt is like the coolest aunt in the world. She like takes him in, and then she's also housing like this lesbian couple, which is really cool. I'm just like, man, what a cool progressive aunt that is. And she's just like okay with everything. And I really love that about her. Are there any moments that stick out to you from the movie?
I don't know about sticking out per se. Again, like it has a nice flow to it. In that, like, you just kind of get from point A to point B in hopes that, you know, they're still going to be together by the end of it. I would say that I really enjoyed the ex-fiance coming into the picture, and there was still this question of, wait a minute, you are married or you're not married or engaged. And I mean, it took a minute to realize, you know, what was happening with that, but it seemed like there was some comedy behind that, because she was asking all these personal questions to Mio and basically saying, well, have you slept together yet? And he's all like, aren't you engaged? Like, what do you mean? Is that what you want? Definitely some pretty fun comic relief in that. And then there's definitely some awkward scenes, especially towards the end when the boys do finally get to sleep together. And like, it was a very, like, it was not as romanticized as what you would think an anime would be. It was more very, this is what young love is looking like.
I definitely want to talk about the awkward. It's not a sex scene, everyone. It's not like you don't see
it. It's like, yeah, it's not like really explicit.
But I wanted to talk about the sex scene. Because it's so awkward, and it's so awkward that it's so real. You know, you are in the middle of doing it, and then suddenly something like happens, and it kind of takes you out, and you're like, wait. And you start asking questions, not about like sex, but just like, oh, this thing came up while we were doing it. And now it's like, well, now I can't focus on the sex. I got to ask you this question. Or like, just how clumsy and fumbly having sex is. Like, at least in my experience, sex can be romantic. Like, it's supposed to be romantic, it's supposed to be this thing, but then more than not, it's often like awkward and clumsy and fumbly, and it's just like, you know, and your first time, it's gonna be that way. It's just, I felt like this was so true. Everything they said, I was like, oh, this is like, I've been there. These moments, it's like so hilarious, and just the thing. And there is a moment that I thought was really funny, and I don't know if you caught this, but I definitely caught this. It's where, like, after they have sex, then they eat dinner, and I was like, oh, that's facts right there. Like, if you know, you know. So I thought that was hilariously funny.
I don't think I put two and two together on that, but that is pretty funny.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's, because Mio is definitely chowing down after that.
Right. No, he is. And, yeah. He even asks Shun if he wants some of the food.
Yeah. So, and it's not because they they use so much energy doing it. So like I said, if you know, you know, everyone. And if you don't know, ask me and I'll tell you privately. Another thing that I really loved in this movie is just like, I do love it, but I wish it was more me. Like, I wish I could be more like Mio, where it's like, I'm shy. I'm not shy normally, but like when it comes to like romance and like someone that you are attracted to, and it's just like, I don't know, I don't want to make the first move. It's kind of reserved in that way. And that's how I felt like Mio was a little bit. Definitely Shun. But I love when Mio comes back, he's like, you know what? I'm all in. Like, I'm here. I want to be with you 100%. I'm like, here I am. And that's something I desire to have. I desire to have that forwardness that Mio has of just being like, I'm in love with you and I'm ready to be together. And here I am. Shun, do you want to be together? So that's something that really stuck out to me in this movie. So that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Like I said, you can definitely see like almost like a personality switch. And it came off a little drastic at first, but when you think about it, it's like, oh, it's actually been 3 years, right? Like they were leaving their teen years, going into adulthood. And yeah, that actually would make sense that they, you know, that they can change a little bit in that regard. And so you definitely pick up on that. And there's, you start to wonder why Shun is feeling the way he is, where he almost comes off more reserved now versus what he was doing beforehand. And so, you know, you kind of got to break that up. And that's part of the plot of the whole movie, is like, why did this character who wanted to make the first move, you know, become so cautious when all he wanted to do was be with this boy 3 years ago? And so that's, I definitely liked seeing that change and that transition, and kind of why I want to see more, to be honest, because I feel like there's more in that relationship that we could see develop. And I think it would be very interesting to have a few key moments where, you know, the sequel would be about, is how they're navigating that trauma. Even if all the family stuff gets better, you know, there was still the moment in the school where he overheard his classmates talking about him behind his back and essentially making homophobic comments. And same thing, like how kind of like, you know, what we have to do for those who are out in the LGBT community and having to then figure out our own trauma and everything too. But it's still, I don't want to say fun per se, but it's still, it carries you in a story, right? Like we still want to know how this person handles that trauma, or this person handles that trauma. And if there's any way for us to relate it to what we have to go through.
Oh yeah. I feel like this movie feels like, it does feel like a real life story of a young gay youth, you know, dealing with being scared about their sexuality and being afraid of it almost, and then just coming to like falling in love. And then there's a scene where Shun and Mio are on a train, and then Shun says something to Mio of like, something like, why wouldn't you, like, you could find a girlfriend, or like, oh, that's unfortunate that you don't have a girlfriend, or something like that, about like finding a girlfriend. And it really upsets Mio, because Mio just wants to be with Shun. And it's that, and I was like, oh, it's that thing where it's like, there's love there for you and someone's in love with you and it scares you. So you try to push it away from yourself and be like, I don't want this because I don't want to get hurt, or I'm afraid of what's going to happen. So that's, oh man. Yeah. This is just like such a, it feels real to me. And that's why I love this movie. It just feels like a real life story of just like, the ups and downs of falling in love and two people falling in love with each other. So, and like you said, it's a very slice of life. There's no crazy, like, overarching villain trying to tear them apart. Even when, like, Shun's fiance from when he was a kid comes back, and it's not like she's like, I'm here to ruin your guys' love. She's just like, I just want to know what's happening. Like, I'm just here to deliver a message. It's just like, tell you something. And like, you know, she's like, yes, I still have feelings for you, but I'm not here to like,
I'm ruin not here for
your
that.
Life. Yeah.
Right.
So there's no overarching, like, horrible plot coming through. It's just a fun slice of life. And I really enjoy that. Were there any other things you want to mention before we give our final recommendations?
I don't think so. Without getting into too much detail, I think we've covered a good portion of it. There aren't too many characters in this series, or anything like that. Like you said, there's not a main villain. I mean, the villain is their trauma and oftentimes themselves, and just trying to overcome how to navigate this new love for themselves, for each other. So I think it is a great story overall. Not one I probably would have, well, no, actually, I take that back. I probably would have found it and watched it on my own at some point, but I don't, like, I go back and forth of whether or not I feel like I will want to watch it again.
Well, on that note, well, okay. So would you recommend this movie?
I would, 100%.
And I would too. I have recommended this. I will always keep recommending it. Just before we move on, I just want to say this again. It just, not only is it a beautiful love story to me, it's also just very visually beautiful. If you like the ocean side and all that stuff, there are moments where I'm watching it and I'm like, this feels like watercolor painting. If someone was like, it just gives me that vibe of watercolors and just like ocean, and it just captures that island beachness for me. And that's coming from someone who doesn't like the beach. So, you know, I would recommend this. I say give it a watch. If you're looking to start off your celebration of June, your celebration of Pride Month, this is a great little ease into it. So, yeah, I definitely recommend Strangers by the Shore. So
I think it's just for searching purposes. I think it is Stranger by the Shore.
Was it not Strangers?
No, it's The Stranger by the Shore.
Oh, I then watch The Stranger by the Shore. You might get the movie The Strangers if you search Strangers. And that's totally different.
I don't know if they'll appreciate that if they're not a scary movie fan.
Yeah, you're not ready for The Stranger. But yeah, moving on. Time to put you on to something that we have discovered lately. This is our recommendation segment where we share whatever we've been watching, reading, or obsessed with over lately.
Recommendations, recommendations. Here are some recommendations.
David, what would you like to recommend to our audience? You know, just something. Doesn't have to be anime related.
Well, I will start by saying, do not watch Half Man if you're not looking for a tragedy. I'm just going to say that right now. Stuck around for the finale. If you've already watched it too, you might be just as upset as I am. I would say if you want to watch it for the tragedy, go for it, because the acting is truly phenomenal. There are definitely some award, like, you know, nominations coming their way, I would think. But at the same time, it the ending to Half Man ticked me off so bad. On a positive note, I am extremely excited that between June and July, it's not just Pride Month. There's a lot of great, you know, cinema or shows that are coming out throughout those 2 months. Because I believe July, we also have a Spider-Man Brand New Day, if I'm not mistaken. That's in July, right?
Is it? Is it July?
So.
I thought it was August.
And then we also have House of the Dragon Season 3 coming out in June. I feel like there was another show. Now I can't even remember.
July 31st. Spider-Man July 31st. And tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. Whoa, this is crazy. Okay.
Gotta keep an eye out. Because I will be a popular one, for sure. But no, I'm excited. The summer is looking to be pretty packed with lots of good shows and movies. I'm excited to watch them all. If I can find the time for them. Again, I can't even find time for half the anime I want to watch, but I'm still excited nonetheless. And if you haven't watched Frieren at all, oh my goodness, please watch it. We finished season two and it is so good. So, so good. But it also breaks my heart because if you watch the show and it also breaks my heart. I don't want to spoil anything.
Frieren and Fern were going to be on my list for Mount Rushmore. They were like
that would have been a good one. That would have been a good one. What have you got on your recommendation list?
Okay, my recommendation list, it's for this one. I think it's kind of cheating because I could do like 5 recommendations for this month when my co-host only gets to do one. So I do get to split it up a little bit. But one thing that I was thinking like, and I'm probably going to rewatch it because it is Pride Month, is Heartstopper. I love Heartstopper. I especially love season one. Season one is like so good. I don't know if you do this. This is crazy. People are going to be like, you're insane. But I think other people do this. Do you watch things that will make you cry? Like scenes that will make you cry and you're just like, I need a good cry.
Yeah. I'll find scenes on YouTube.
Heartstopper has a lot of scenes where it's just like, I'm going to turn this on and I know I'm going to cry and I'm just going to cry. So Heartstopper is so good. Talking about another like coming to age queer love story that's very sweet and wholesome. It's not like, I don't know, sometimes like these things can get like over sexualized and stuff like that, and this is not. This is just like Stranger by the Shore. It's just very sweet. It's about two people falling in love and dealing with the stigma in the community. So I love Heartstopper season one. I recommend it a lot. Okay, I gotta go back. I know we're like out of order, but I was just reminded of something that I'm not going to recommend, but you know, if you want something a little spicier in the like queer community, there is Heated Rivalry.
Yes.
But yes. What reminded me of this, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, my mind was trying to process it while we were talking about Stranger by the Shore. And there's a scene where Shone's fiance comes. And then he's like, she's like, oh, who is this person? And he's like, Mio. Mio is my lover. And it reminded me of Heated Rivalry. When he's like, don't say that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're more adventurous, Heated Rivalry is very steamy, people. If you're not ready for something graphic, don't watch Heated Rivalry.
Stick to Heartstopper. But,
you know, if you're more mature and you can handle it, Heated Rivalry has just also a great love story in it. It's very steamy. It's mixed with great, like, Game of Thrones-esque scenes. But the love story is still there. So it's still a great recommend. But that's my recommend for the older audience. My recommend for just everyone is to watch Heartstopper. And,
I recommend all seasons of Heartstopper. I know you weren't a big fan of
season three,
right?
Yeah.
But I've kept up with the e-comic. It is now officially over, unfortunately. But the movie is, the movie is the end of the series. It's coming out this year as well. I don't remember if it's in June or July, but it will be out soon.
This month?
Yeah.
And theaters?
No, it's gonna be, I believe, a Netflix movie. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. July 17th. So there next it is. Month. Okay. Yep. Man, I hope they put it in theaters, though. I think that would be good. Just one night.
Be great.
Like but those are our recommendations. So check them out. And if you do, please let us know what you think. And finally, that wraps up this episode. The kitchen is closed for today. If you want to find us, you can find us on Instagram at AnimeBentoPod. You can find me at Jimsta2.
And you can find me at EpicallyDave.
Thanks for listening. Hope you're full of anime and even more full of good food. We'll catch you next time. Stay legendary.
Peace out.
Bye.
See ya.
The show.